It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal after a long while.
Hey guys.
And after a long while, because Vishal has been completely immersed and absolutely overwhelmed by what's going on at Euro 2020, particularly the knockout stage. Vishal, we expected to be put through a ringer, but surely, I mean, beyond our wildest imagination, we would not have thought this would be what we'd be put through.
I kid you not, at the beginning of the Euros, all I said to myself is I'm going to watch select games, necessary games. I've had a lot of football this last year and a half, 2 years. So it's okay to not watch all games. Unfortunately, I have not missed a single game. I have watched every game of the Euros and I can't justify my behavior.
Well, you can justify your behavior because currently you are on a football pod. So we will need your expertise from having seen all these games. Because there has been some madness going on in this round of 16. In fact, some is underselling it. There has been a lot of madness going on. Except for some of the results that went along expected lines, we'll quickly get those out of the way and then tear into what we learned from the results that were truly spectacular. We had a relatively tame start with Denmark rolling over Wales, which is something you probably expected. I think me and Karan were doing the preview show where we had mentioned that Denmark looked like the more settled team here, despite what they have had to go through in terms of qualification and everything else. But then began the long line of games where the shockers and the excitement kept coming one after the other. Like I was saying the other day, we ended up with a night which was so steeped in drama. It was basically Shakespeare on steroids. and we begin with one of those games, Vishal. France 3, Switzerland 3, 5-4 in the penalties. This was a game, I mean, France had shown vulnerability in the group stage. We had talked about that in our preview as well. But one did not expect France to unravel at this level against it must be said, a disciplined and well-organized Switzerland. But even then...
I think it's genuinely a generational problem, right? Because teams these days just do not seem to be playing 90 minutes. Like, France had gone to sleep. That's the only reason Switzerland came back into this game. You had a comfortable lead. The way Pogba gave away the ball in the last minute for the goal to be conceded. It's just a genuine case of lack of concentration by teams and players who now seem to assume that, okay, we have a two-goal lead. They're not going to come back to us. And they almost rest on merit and law, right? And it's deserving. I think it's a deserving kick in the backside for France because also the fact that substitutions that were made, right? I think Kylian Mbappe was utterly crap throughout this entire tournament. It was not just this game. And I think he came into the tournament in poor form. He showed that in the Champions League as well and through the league as well because, let's be honest, he was really poor against in the Champions League too. And the difference was the fact that there was no Griezmann and Benzema to take a penalty for France. And Mbappe stepped up and not a great penalty too. So I just think that was a pure function of one team playing 90 minutes and one team saying, okay, we won this. It's all comfortable and good and we're world champions. On to the next.
And this match, interesting that you point out Pogba's mistake at the end and giving the ball away at the last minute when they would have more or less sealed the match. As somebody who lived through the horrors of the 2000 Euro final, seeing that being done to France in return was, I should mention, some amount of schadenfreude, sure, even though it's a completely different generation. Of course, if listeners are wondering what we are referring to, it's Italy giving away the ball in the last moments for France to get an equalizing goal in the final and then scoring in extra time to win. Here, of course, they lost on penalties. But Vishal, as in what Benzema had done, what Pogba had done after Switzerland had taken the 1-0 lead and then Rodriguez had missed a penalty for Switzerland, it seemed to be a game completely handed on a platter to France? And do you think that was the reason for the complacency then?
I think two things happened, right? Because one, France scored three goals in the space of about 6 minutes, 7 minutes. And that obviously led to a certain level of complacency, right? With the way they sat back, with the way they defended post that, there was almost a certain level of arrogance in their style of football, right? Which is okay, with the level of talent that they have, that's a fair sentiment to have. But that does not mean you lose concentration. And I think Patrick Vieira and Roy Keane called this out, right? Right. The difference between world-class and talented is this exactly, right? Because Paul Pogba, as great as he's been this tournament, he constantly has lapses in judgment, lapses. Like, you have no business dribbling the ball the way you are dribbling it in that half, in your own half, and that led to the goal, right? And that's basically where leadership is lacking on the field as well, because if he had a proper leader on the field, or Deschamps equivalent, right? Like if Didier Deschamps was playing, I'm sure he'd have gone and tackled Pogba himself. The level of, I think it's, like I said, it's a generational issue. But I think France deserved what came to them, because if you're going to give away a 3-1 lead, being world champions, being the kind of talent that you have to, and like the Switzerland coach said rightly, right? If we play 100% and they play 100%, they win. So we have to play 120%, and that's possibly what happened, and rightfully deserving winners of the game, and France need to really look at how they approach a game.
And France, of course, were only the first victim, in a sense, of the of the group of death, because from there on we move on to another victim of the group of death. Belgium 1, Portugal 0. The defending champions crashing out. But this was not a game full of drama. To be honest, this was a game where Belgium emerged rightful winners.
I think this is one game where I think credit to Portugal as well, because they gave a good account of themselves in the second half. I think they were a little off in the first half, and let's also be honest that there's nothing that anybody could do about that goal, right? Because it was a great, great goal. It's the kind of goal that you can't prepare for, you can't defend.
It was the only shot and only shot on target Belgium had in the first half.
Exactly. And Portugal just were the most unluckiest, because I think they created some great chances. They had some good ball movement. The players did their part. So this was a typical knockout game, right? Like, I think the quality of football was very high, and Belgium lost two crucial players, which might come back to haunt them in the quarterfinals. But overall, I think Portugal, from the group of death, I think the only team I really liked was Portugal, like, barring the France performance, because the one thing I liked, I mean, barring the Germany performance, right? Because after the Germany performance, they learned what was wrong and they made the changes, right? They brought back the likes of João Moutinho into the team. They brought Renato Sanchez into the team. And that takes a certain level of acknowledgement, because you sat on the likes of Bruno Fernandes.
And I think Sanchez was excellent in that second round game.
Absolutely. I think Portugal were really unlucky to be knocked out this game. And there were enough warning signs for Belgium as well, because they struggled to make play without De Bruyne. But luckily, Hazard was there, and who was excellent on the night. But both the Hazards were excellent. But Eden Hazard was again excellent on the night. But again, he picked up another injury. So for them, the quarterfinal is going to be very interesting, because they're not now who's going to be the link up between Lukaku and midfield is something that they're going to have to figure out. But I think that honestly was one of my favorite games this tournament so far. The 1-0 win, but there was lots going on in that game between both the teams. A lot of technical, banter between both the managers, constant changes, constant Ronaldo dropping in, Ronaldo moving to the wing, Ronaldo playing through the centers, then Lukaku playing some excellent hold-up football there. You could just give him the ball and he would easily eat up about 90 seconds just by himself, by just controlling the ball. And I just loved it. I think it was a great, great football game. And while Belgium edged it, I think Portugal should consider themselves unlucky. Good account of themselves.
As far as Portugal are concerned, their group of death had something to do with this, because their performance against Germany was the reason they drew Belgium in this second round in the first place.
Absolutely. I think that's the one thing this whole group of death. Firstly, I hate this. The third best team be qualifying for the knockouts. I think then no matter who the team is, they genuinely don't deserve to be there. So Portugal shouldn't have been here technically, but I think they at least showed that they deserve to be here, unlike the other team that came out from the group of death. And we'll get to that.
We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's talk about Belgium's opponent in the quarterfinal and how they got there. Italy 2, Austria 1. I mean,
yeah.
All these years of watching Italy and cheering for them, Vishal, has prepared us for knowing that this is how things usually turn out. As it happened, this was a game where Italy seemed to be cruising in general, but for whatever reasons, they decided to make it pretty difficult for themselves.
Absolutely. I think if you're an opponent, this game was everything you needed to know about Italy. Because what they did show is a lack of temperament if things were not going according to plan. But I think a couple of things, Italy shouldn't have changed their starting lineup because they had a great starting lineup. That's the formula that's working with the likes of Locatelli playing in midfield. And he should have continued playing because the minute he came on, the minute Chiesa came on, I thought there was a massive difference with regards to how Italy started playing. But overall, again, Italy were good on the night. Deserving result. Yes, Austria were unlucky, but let's be honest, 90 minutes of defending does not necessarily mean you deserve to go through the next round. That's you playing to your strengths, but Italy were better on the night. Italy are the better team, and I think the better team went through without having to really complicate what happened that
Yeah, I think Italy just about managed to get the job done. Chiesa with a wonderful goal. Good thing Pessina came up with the insurance goal because clearly the goal with about 5 or 6 minutes left in extra time, there was a bit of a jittery period. But they saw it through without a lot of drama. And speaking of a lot of drama, we can now talk about a game which wasn't the greatest, perhaps, technical game you would see, but definitely was not lacking in the drama. Spain 5, Croatia 3. You often don't see 8-goal thrillers in knockout football, Vishal. Anyway, I mean, this was an utterly strange game
it was Sunday league. This was Sunday league football. Let's just put it what it was. Let's just call it what it was. This was Sunday league football. Some really poor goalkeeping errors. My God, that was some poor quality football. There were some goals to hide the poor quality in the game. But yeah, that was really bad football from both sides.
And not least because Croatia kept plugging away at Spain. Spain were up. I think 3-1 at one point, and then it was 3-2 with about 4 minutes of regulation time to go, and effectively with the last move of the regulation in injury time, Croatia managed to equalize. I think 92nd or 93rd minute of extra time.
But I think this is the one game I think the manager has to take the biggest responsibility because. Luis Enrique, the way he made substitutions in that game was just uncalled for. He practically himself took it upon himself that we've already won this game, so let me change everybody on the field. And that came back quite badly to haunt them because they suddenly lost balance on the field. Right? Because if you really look at why Croatia scored, it's because Spain practically lost all shape and form in the on the field. Right? They didn't suddenly know what formation they were playing. They had too many attacking midfielders. They were suddenly putting in youngsters without too much experience with regard to what the real system is that they were playing. And that almost came back to haunt them. Because just before Morata scored that goal, there was a good save by the Spanish goalkeeper or else that the game could have ended very differently for Spain. So I think the manager has to actually look at himself and his decision-making in this game because you do not take away most of your best players just because you're up 3-1. We understand that they need rest, but you still had a job to finish.
And the fact that they're facing Switzerland in the quarterfinals, another team that managed to climb a 3-1 deficit and turn it around, surely Luis Enrique will have taken note of that. And now, Vishal, on to 2-0 results that we have to talk about. And one of them, unfortunately, yes, we have to talk about in the interest of fairness, is Netherlands 0, Czech Republic 2.
Surprise!
I mean, this was, again, very classic Netherlands. Netherlands and Czech Republic have had some epic clashes in the Euros, but... were you surprised in terms of how neutered Netherlands looked in this game, even before the red card, actually.
Yes. Again, Netherlands should have won this game, honestly, in the first 20 minutes. Because if you knew how this game was going to go, right? If Netherlands did not score in that first 20 minutes, this was not going to end well at all for them. And that's exactly what happened. Because the more the game kept going, the more Czech Republic got in, more and more involved. From the start of the second half, they were breaking away from their defensive setup and creating their own chances and created a few close calls, right? And I think they truly deserved to win this game. By the end of the, by the time they scored the goal, they were by far the better team as well, right? Yeah. And of course, the red card didn't help. And Delight really needs to really look at himself at this point in time, because over the last 3 years, he's not necessarily become what he's supposed to become. So he needs to really look at his decision making and his temperament, and really figure out how he wants to take it forward from himself as a player. But Netherlands pulled another Netherlands, so. Not surprised at all. Like, you knew the question of when, but I didn't think it would happen against the Republic. But
yeah. I mean, the round of 16 game where they were coming in, having won three group games, and scoring multiple goals.
Like we discussed on the group, that was such a facade.
Because
in chat saying this is all a facade.
Because this particular game, they had zero shots on target, which is an astonishing stat for a knockout game. Featuring the Netherlands, but again we have seen Euro knockout game meltdown from Netherlands far too many times for us to be expecting anything better. Which was unfortunate, but as you said, it's Frank de Boer probably not quite in keyed in terms of what he needs out of this team. Which moves us to the other game again. Like you said, we want to talk about the third team in the group of death. And that was last night at Wembley.
Yeah.
England 2, Germany 0. Astonishing stat. The first time England have beaten Germany in a knockout situation in a multi-nation tournament for the first time since, well, take a wild guess, 1966. Now break this down for us, Vishal. This on screen, on the surface, it looked like England got slightly lucky and maybe Germany were wasteful. But was there something that England were doing right that allowed them to blunt Germany this way?
So I have a theory on Southgate. Southgate has been studying tournament football, right? I think he's really spent his time looking at some of the past winners and the way they've gone ahead and won tournaments, right? Beat Portugal in the previous edition, even Greece are a great example, or the French team, or like any example, right? I think what Southgate is, and people could laugh at me for this, but I think he's learning the art of game management, right? That lineup he put out there baffled me. Honestly, it baffled me just like it baffled everybody else. But then the game started and you saw what his plan was, right? He basically had put in Trippier to look at somebody like Cruz, because Cruz was going to sit behind and, you know, make those deep lying passes. But what he did by introducing Trippier was not only the fact that Trippier needed could defend him for those deep lying passes, but it also gave Cruz an additional defensive responsibility, right? Because Trippier could do just that, along with making runs, because Trippier picks out some great passes. So that was, I think that was a really, really smart move, because he really neutralized the engine of the German midfield, right? Yes, they had some chances. And of course, any team is going to have chances. If you're Germany, you're going to have chances. And let's also be clear, while they had chances, it was the goalkeepers, the defenders did their job. Like, it was not as if Germany made a muck of it other than the Müller goal. But everything else, England actually did their job, right? And if you really think about his usage of the likes of Grealish and how he's been using Grealish, right? He also knows the fact that Grealish missed about 14 weeks of football this season, right? That means his game fitness is not up to the team. So even if it's in the last game of the group stage, this game, he's using him in this 30 to 45 minute burst, right? And in that 30 to 45 minute burst, his impact is going to be far more than a 90 minute burst. This is how he's treating it, right? And you saw it. He came on, created one, and created both goals, in fact. So while Luke Shaw put the final assistant. So I think there's a certain level of game management that he's really picked up on. He seems to have identified each player and what specific role they can play in what instance. And I was quite impressed. I was quite impressed with how Southgate managed this. And I never thought I would say this, but this is a theory in my head. I could be very wrong. He could prove me wrong the very next game by doing something random, but yesterday was intentional. I'm very impressed.
Which incidentally will be against Ukraine, who won a thriller against Sweden. But let's just dwell on this point for a moment, which is that we have talked about this often in our discussions, and probably in the larger context, people don't discuss or think about this enough, that international football is a very different cup of tea than club football, and you have to approach and put pieces together very differently to try and set up a winning squad than... I mean, beyond a Belgium, perhaps, in this tournament, there is nobody else who has players who play together very regularly anyway.
Yep. I think what Southgate has really managed to build, right, is an environment as a squad. Because let's be honest, most of these players are stars in their respective teams and respective district, right? To have them put aside egos and play the way they're currently playing, I think is fairly impressive to start with. It's a very NBA-like approach, right? Like the players knowing their role specifically and delivering that specific role. I'm fairly impressed with how England have managed themselves as players so far. And I hope they don't get too excited, because there was too much celebration yesterday. There was too much noise. You still just won the round of 16. And to my fellow Indian fans, why are you all saying it's coming home? I will never understand.
So just one more thing to touch on, Vishal, which is looking at the quarterfinals and a lightning fast preview of all of them. We've already talked about Ukraine, England, like you were saying, that hopefully Southgate kind of manages to show his tactical acumen again, or at least you can put your hypothesis to the test that does he set up like that to be able to get the best out of them. And against a team like Ukraine, he might need it, because this showed against Sweden that they are not averse to playing to a plan.
Absolutely. Now you also have the risk of playing a team that has no expectation. Right? They're already punching above their weight when they're in the quarterfinals of the Euro. So England need to put context to what they're up against now. And if they don't get excited, if they play to the plan, they should win. But we've had this conversation many times about England. So like
yes.
I said, let's wait and watch, because I think they're a little too excited about beating Germany. I get the historical context and everything, but that was still the round of 16, and this was still a German side that is still figuring their life out.
And I think the lack of that historical context and everything will define this Ukraine game, because it would be quite something. England have not won a Euro quarterfinal, I think, since 1996. So a lot at stake. Two surprising quarterfinalists, you could say, and one of them is actually going to go to the semi-final from this one. Czech Republic, Denmark, Vishal. Surely Denmark have the cohesiveness to probably pull this off.
So I'm going to evaluate Denmark. Even you put aside that Eriksen incident, right? I think Denmark have been fantastic these Euros. Even against Belgium, the game they lost for 65 minutes, they were clearly the better side. They just didn't take a couple of chances. So them being in the quarterfinals is actually not a surprise for me. I think this is a very good squad. They have some really good players, and them being in the semi-final will also be, obviously the sentiment is high, but it will be a very meritorious progression as well if they get there, because I think they've been excellent this Euros and one of the good teams. Like, they've played good football all the games and just had a poor game against Finland for obvious reasons. And Belgium again was just Belgium. Kevin De Bruyne magic, and you can't do anything against that. But I think the team are an excellent team, and I think I see them progressing.
All right, and then we have, of course, Switzerland, Spain, where Luis Enrique definitely will have his job cut out, because this is a Switzerland squad that seems to be growing in confidence, despite France's missteps. You have to say they definitely looked up for the fight in that game.
Absolutely, right? And See, if you're going to beat a team like France, your confidence is going to be a little higher against Spain, because the one thing that France showed you is stick to a plan, and there is a reward around. So I think they will come back with another quite solid plan. And they also know in their minds that Spain are very beatable. This is in no shape or form a great Spain team, a young Spain team, but definitely beatable. So I think Switzerland will definitely come up with a plan in their mind. But I think Spain might just have too much goal scoring power for them, but it'll be an interesting game.
And it might turn out to be one of the quarterfinals of the round. But then, speaking of one of the games of the round, it could also be Belgium versus Italy. But unfortunately, Belgium now blunted by the potential absence of their big stars. But Vishal, again, as Italy supporters, we know how this goes.
Absolutely. I think this is also an opportunity for Martinez to finally earn his badges, right? Because let's be honest, anybody can manage this Belgium squad at full strength, right? Like, you just need to say go play, right? Like, put them or give them a formation and say go play. Honestly, like, you don't need to complicate it too much for Belgium and this squad and the talent that they have. And now is when, because the one game where he couldn't start with De Bruyne, which was where Denmark really outran them and outplayed them, right? Until De Bruyne came on. So he's not been, this is his one chance to really earn his badges, but let's see if he's able to do it, because I think he's up against an Italian team that is tactically sound, know what their role is, and they're not intimidated by, you know, for a fact that Italian defense is not intimidated by Lukaku, no matter how good or how great he is. So it's going to be a fun game. And at the same time,
there is definitely a familiarity factor as well. I mean, they have dealt with Lukaku.
Absolutely.
Some of them have in this area.
So I think it's going to be a great game. If Belgium aren't careful, they could be picked aside quite easily by the Italian midfield and the forward line. So it's going to be quite the game. I think this is the one game I'm definitely looking forward to.
Right, so those are the four games, and we will bring you the breakdown and the reviews of those four games and the preview of the semifinals in the next episode. But that's about all the time we have for this very jumbo episode, Vishal. It's one of the longest we have ever recorded, I think.
Absolutely.
Because we had to go through so much this Euro 2020 round of 16 has provided us. That's about all the time we have this week. You can follow us on Twitter at SenSoccer, and you can subscribe to the podcast on any of the podcasting platforms that you use. In the meantime, this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
See you guys.
See you guys in the next round.